This is Rod Peterson on Demand. No!
You all didn't know the old me, that for 40 years, Darren, I was a kamikaze. The fact that I'm alive is a miracle.
How about that?
I've ridden steers, jumped off cliffs, been shot and been shot at, and I survived it all.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to a brand new week. It is the RP Show, episode number 360, coming your way of Canada's daytime sports talk show. I'm your host, Rod, and he is the co-host, Darren. How are you, Dupes?
I'm great.
Did you have a good weekend?
I did, yeah.
That's good. Yeah, I don't know. Call me crazy, but went into the weekend. Everybody seemed to be fighting with each other via social media and stuff.
Yeah.
And then this morning, I just feel this real... People got a lifted spirits.
Yeah.
Maybe because it's a brand new week or something. I don't know. Left the house this morning, and the guy that was shoveling snow removal company across the street. Morning, Rod! Stood there and talked.
Nice.
Wish sports would come back. And I'm like, hey, I know, man. I know. And that'll be a little bit of the topic here when we get to the Quick Six show topics today. But one thing that I've noticed is we've been able to very deftly over the last 9 months just steer clear for the most part of COVID talk.
Yeah.
And just have fun and talk about the sports that are playing. And we do have Grey Cup Unite is in the news too. So I'll just tell you that Dawn Corby will be joining us here in hour one. We talked about how we're pivoting, expanding the Rolodex, if you will. Dawn Corby is, picture this, Dragon's Den, if you will.
Yep.
He came up with the concept of a board game that he's been working on for 20 years. Dawn Corby. And the game's called Billa's Tick, and they got a bunch of celebrity investors, including Doug McClain, Darren Millard, I believe, now the Golden Knights. James Duffy is an investor in this, and they're ready to go to market with Billa's Tick. And I'll let him explain it to you. He's coming up in the next segment, but I'm excited for that. And when I talked to him last week, he had asked if he could come on the show, and he goes, I can maybe come into your studio. You guys are in Toronto, right? I'm like, no. What would make you think that? Well, I've been watching you guys for months. I thought you were in Toronto. Who knew?
Who knew?
So anyways, he'll be doing it from his GTA home. I'm excited. I'm a board game fan. Are you not a board?
Yeah.
And it mixes with sports. We'll get into it a little later on. And then Gary Lawless will be joining us from Vegas, the Golden Knights insider. There's some news with them today and the entire NHL. So it's Dawn Corby and Gary Lawless. Two guests, quality, not quantity.
Yes.
Got it? Okay, the Quick Six show topics. Let's go, Jordan, please. Thank you. I have to say this. Every sports show is opening with Masters highlights from SportsCenter, Connected, mm-hmm. You name it. I have to say it was anticlimactic, was it not? Okay, so you're not the only one that got that sense?
No.
I was just excited for years. My wife and I have, frankly, laid on the couch and watched the Masters Sunday, and it was over. Gone. By 1:30 our time, it was done.
Yeah.
And Dustin Johnson shaking hands, kissing his wife, or soon to be, Paulina Gretzky, and away she went. Where was Wayne, by the way?
Didn't see him.
No. Wayne must have been home in L.A. watching on television, but just no drama whatsoever. It was an ass-kicking by Dustin Johnson.
It really was.
Yeah.
It really was. Wire to wire, almost. I mean, the first round was really interesting to see who was going to come out on top, and even day two on Friday was a lot of fun in the morning. But, yeah, very anticlimactic Masters. The only thing that was kind of intriguing was watching again Tiger on Sunday.
Yeah.
When he puts a 10 up on the par 3 12th, and then finishes with a string of birdies. But it's fun when the guys do that, and then it's very relatable to you and I on the golf course.
Yeah, well, it was, you taking a shot at me?
And myself. I said, you and I.
No, I'm joking. But I've said many times, my wife's family is a huge golf family. So we went over to her brother's after it was over, and we broke it all down, and he talked about Tiger chunking it into the water twice on the same hole, right? So, whatever. It was anticlimactic. So, I hope next spring when the Masters returns, and do they announce next year's date at all?
They've got
to be planning for the spring.
I would imagine. As always, that's where they want it to be.
Yeah. So, they figured out a way to play in November. It was a novelty, but there just wasn't the drama that we're used to. Anyways, moving on to point two, NFL week 10. That's what the snow removal guy said. I only look forward to Sundays now. Because in his mind, that's all that's playing is the NFL. And it was a pretty good Sunday. The Tampa Bay-Carolina game. Obviously, I'm watching Tampa. Tom's revenge wasn't that exciting. The game of the day was Buffalo-Arizona.
Big time.
Which we happened to have on at my brother-in-law's place. And I almost wonder if we could air the highlights, I would. But you all saw the Hail Mary at the end of the game by Kyler Murray. Was this Kyler Murray's coming out party? Or has he already had it?
I thought it was the game, the Sunday nighter against Seattle, that was his real coming out party. But this is just another one, right? I mean, he almost got sacked on the play, too. And then to throw a 45-yard touchdown pass to DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, just to get that ball away was spectacular. But, yeah, another big win for him because they had taken a little step back after that big win against Seattle. So this is another big step forward for Kyler Murray.
Yes, and DeAndre Hopkins made the catch in the Hail Mary. Three Bills around him. It was a blown assignment. They knew who was going to or should have been the jump guy and knocked the ball down. I think they panicked.
Yeah.
Clearly they panicked. But there was no real explanation for how they didn't knock that ball down and win the game. And can you guys put the comment up from Trent Bruner on my monitor, if you don't mind? I just want to say, forget about 0-4 or 0-5, whatever it was, when the Houston Texans fired coach and GM Bill O'Brien. When he traded Hop, that's what got him fired.
Yeah.
Best receiver in the game, and you trade for a second-round pick at a broken-down running back. Dumb. So anyways, I'm excited for Arizona. They're my second favorite team. And the only thing I was saying to my wife's brother was, the only thing I hate about watching games in that stadium is it makes me yearn to be there. Because Phoenix is Disneyland for adults. So great. So fun. So awesome. One day. Anyways, Norway checking in. Trent says, Norway calling. I love the final result of the CFL sim. Ottawa versus Saskatchewan in the Grey Cup. I hope that virtual Cody Fajardo was able to play on Saturday night. Is the trophy in the house? Go Riders. That's from Trent. He's following the CFL sim. Just hold on. I'm getting to it. Point three, Monday night football. Minnesota at Chicago tonight. We'll be watching. I don't think I have anything else on. A battle of the NFC North. The Black and Blue Division. The Cheese League. It's a big game.
It is a big game, you know, for both these teams. Minnesota, you never know what you're going to get. And we have so many Vikings fans that are part of the family of this show, it feels like, whether it's Kelly Rempel,
yep,
or Labardius.
George Yanitsos,
or whether you look at Arash Madani. They're all Vikings fans. They're hot and cold, right?
Well, they're overall damaged people.
They are.
Yeah.
When the Vikings play, they can beat Green Bay. They can beat a lot of teams. They got one of the best running backs in the NFL. But then on the other side, when they don't play well, it's just like they fell off a cliff. And Chicago, they're a surprising team, too. You know what? Monday Night Football is always good. The game will be good tonight.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. That's tonight. So right. We'll be watching. So to point four, CFL Sim. We ran our division finals on the weekend out of this studio here in the bunker, and they were wild games, snowy at McMahon. We should have aired the highlights of it. But the Red Blacks went in there and upset the Stampeders. What was the final? 28-19. Ottawa advanced to the CFL Sim Grey Cup. And then in the second game of the doubleheader, the Rough Riders trounced the Edmonton Football Club 34-14 at Commonwealth. I said to my friends with the Edmonton Football Club, lovely job you did clearing the field. And we don't know what the conditions will be like for this Saturday's game, Saskatchewan-Ottawa, in the inaugural CFL Sim Grey Cup at Virtual Mosaic Stadium. I was interviewed yesterday for the Ottawa French language newspaper, Le Droit. They were watching the game, the Ottawa game, and they said, kudos on the national anthem. Good job, Clark, and who you lined up, because they had both French and English in the national anthem. Guy said, we don't even get that in Toronto.
That's what? Awesome. That's awesome. It takes a shot at the league a little bit in Toronto, but no, it's, you know what? It's what we do. We're bringing the whole country together with the CFL Sim.
Hang on about the Argo logo. People are writing in. Actually, let me drop anchor for a second on that, because I asked Clark if he could dig it up real quick, and our VP of Sim Events, Nelson Hakowicz, writes in and says, how about that beauty, new, old Argos logo release today? Can you throw it up, Clark? Here's what I'll say. Oh, he never got it. So we'll move on and come back. 2.5 Grey Cup Unite begins today with a news conference this afternoon. However you want to call it, State of the League address from the Commissioner Randy Ambrosi. The Players Association is doing the same thing. People are writing in this morning and saying, what do we expect from the Commissioner? We covered that Friday. I guess we can cover it again for the benefit of those that weren't watching then. All anybody wants is an update on the season for 2021. What else do you expect or want?
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot more. I mean, potentially the financial situation that the league's in, but how deep are they going to get into that? I don't expect them really to, because they're not going to do anything that's not going to try and deliver hope for the future, right? So I just think it's going to be one of those kind of uplifting addresses. Randy can be pretty inspiring when he wants to be. Yeah. So that's kind of what I'm thinking.
I don't expect much because Randy never says much. So if he comes out with some sort of update on the 2021 season, and there'll be something, I don't think it'll be overly substantial. And I said I'm a fan of Ambrosi. Everybody knows that. I just don't expect a lot. But I'll be tuned in as everybody else. Jack Fulton watching from Alberta. This is funny. Jack says, the Arizona Cardinals stadium is cool, but doesn't hold a candle to the Cowboys home. Let me tell you a story about that. I was in a luxury suite at a Cardinals game watching the Cardinals and the Eagles, and I was with the owners of the Coyotes. And Gary Drummond leaned over to me, and he goes, what do you think of this place, eh? And I'd been in it before. I said, Cowboys old places like this. You should have seen the look on his face. I'm like, oh, here's me speaking out loud. Did I say that out loud? But it's true. It's beautiful. It's nice. It's nothing compared to AT&T Stadium. That's just a stupid thing to say.
Outstanding. But it's, you say you miss being there. It's not even about the stadium. It's, you just miss being in Phoenix.
Not the stadium. The city.
Yeah, exactly. I just miss being, you miss being there. That's it.
Moving on. Point six, hockey notes. Some guy had written in and said, is there going to be any junior hockey talk? What do you want? I see the commissioner of the American or the Alberta Junior Hockey League is now following me on Twitter. That's a win. We can sit here. Are we going to get bogged down in the minutia of nightly results and all the junior A leagues across the country? I mean, we could. It might end up being that, depending on where the lockdowns go. I'm more interested in who's playing, who's not. These WHL stars continue to eat up everybody's lunch from what I see in the junior A.
Yep.
Mike Stackhouse, the Yorkton broadcaster writer, says that's not the case. They haven't stood out. He's seen more games than me. I'll have to defer to him. But they've shut down Manitoba. Flin Flon's not playing for the time being. It's a dog's breakfast, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It is. You know, who's playing, who's not, how many get, like, the amount of games different leagues are going to be able to get in is going to be different all across the board. And, you know, you mentioned the Western Hockey League is going to start in January, set to start early January. You know, it might be different what they're allowed to do in Saskatchewan versus Alberta versus BC. You might get, you know, a division in Saskatchewan where they're allowed to play 30 or 40 games, and in BC they might only get in 15. Or you just don't know where this is going to end up, but just they're trying.
We'll spend the rest of the warm-up on hockey stuff, okay, because people are writing in on that. Donald Mitchell's watching in the Middle East, and I appreciate you checking in from there, Don. He says, good Lord, some of the NHL retro new jerseys are god-awful. The Flames horse is brutal. Yeah, the NHL rolled out this morning all the team's retro jerseys, and he nailed it. Some are bad, some are great. And I don't know, Clark, if you want to throw those up. We didn't know this was coming out, so we're not really ready. Throw up the Argos logo if you don't mind. It seems to be logo day and jersey day today in sports. So the Argos announced this morning that's their logo they're going back to, which apparently was their original logo. I didn't read the news release, but what, 130-some years ago? Let me say this. I love all their logos. Mm-hmm. Every single one. The A with the circle around it. Love it. Love this. Double blue. Folks, if you know me, on any given day, you're going to see me wearing blue.
Get the best color scheme in the CFL.
Oh, since I was a little kid, I loved Argos stuff. When the Argos would come through and play the Rough Riders, they had these beautiful Under Armour blue, two-tone blue shirts with Argos across the front, and I'm just, can I have one? I can't wear it. It's not my team. Maybe now I could wear it. I love anything the Argos do, color-wise and jersey-wise. So back to the NHL stuff. I know that we can't... it's going to be too fast for Clark to come up with this stuff. Maybe later, or maybe we'll do it tomorrow. But some of these jerseys, it was the classic LA Kings purple with the gold trim, Leafs jerseys from the 80s. And when I looked at it, Rick Vibe. I looked at the Kings jersey, Marcel Dion. Now, who is the first player you think of when you right. see this logo, right? Flames. That wasn't a Clark Wilm.
The horse, yeah.
Yeah, the horse breathing fire out of its nose. The Rangers with the Statue of Liberty logo, NYR, and the statue. I think of Merrick Malik when he scored the goal through his legs. And he, maybe Mike Richter.
Yeah.
Oh, there's the flame. Oh, so Clark's got it. Do you want to throw these up, Clark? As much as you can. You tell me the first player you think of when you see these.
This will be
as
good.
Much as you can. I don't know. Robin in Prince Albert's watching. He says the Whalers, Dark Stars, Andre Kostitsyn. This is the blue Montreal Canadiens.
Andre Kostitsyn, that's pretty good.
Third star, that's their third jersey. Blue Habs, I can't think of anything else. Gord Dineen, Hartford Whalers.
Yep. Ron
or
Francis.
Dave Tippett. This, he said this is all he has for now. This could be a very fun
that'd be
game.
That'd be a great segment. Clark, get all those jerseys ready to go for some time
we
later
didn't know
on.
This was happening. It all came down first thing this morning. So obviously that was Carolina Hurricanes retro jerseys. And I asked you guys, what did my team, the Vegas Golden Knights, do? I didn't see it. And it was a, Clark will find it later. And actually, Lawless. Gary Lawless will be with us in hour two when we go to national television simulcast on Game Plus. Maybe he's got some thoughts. I guess it's red.
Yeah, with the
with
swords.
Swords.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, I like it. Brent Kuhlman writes in and says, Derek Morris, good old Mo. And John Ohm is watching in Winnipeg this morning. Ohm. He says, Winnipeg Jets, baby. I got a problem with the Winnipeg Jets on this. Their jersey is gray. Gray with the old 80s Jets logo. Come on. Wait. Those Thrashers jerseys were nice. I got a Thrashers bobblehead around here somewhere. Those jerseys were nice.
Yeah.
Team was god awful. But the jerseys were not. How can you not come up with it? If you can't come up with anything other than a gray jersey for the Winnipeg Jets, why not go Thrashers?
I would. I'd go Thrashers. Why not? I think that would look really, really great, you know, with the Thrashers logo. But, yeah, the Jets one's by far the worst, I think, in my mind.
Clark says he's got the – did you say you had the Jets? Oh, he's got some more. Okay. Throw them up. Marcel Dion.
Luke Robitaille.
Purple Haze. Yeah, Luke Robitaille absolutely did. Tiger Williams.
Yeah.
If you want. Puke.
Keith Tkachuk.
Jeremy Roenick. That's the Coyotes retro – what the hell is that?
The Ducks.
Paul Kariya.
Yeah, Solani.
Okay.
Ruslan Saleh.
Good job. He's like, that's all I got. That's good.
That's pretty
good.
We
can do this all day.
Sure we could.
Jessica in Winnipeg is watching. She says, the Jets jersey is amazing. Ain't no one want a Thrashers jersey. That's from Jessica.
Where's Koval?
What I feel like is that if it's your team, you're going to love it no matter what. Robert Kazakov writes in and says, Jeff Sanderson, very good one there.
Yeah.
For the Hartford Whalers. You know what he's referring to, right?
Yeah.
So, again, if you're a Flames fan, you love that retro jersey. I didn't. I'm not a Flames fan. If you are a Carolina fan, you like the Hartford jersey. I would think. Who doesn't like their team's retro jersey? Even those Coyotes ones are god awful. And I like the Coyotes. They're like my third team. Danny Heatley screams Jamie Neugebauer. We're having some fun with this one.
Oh, yeah.
Monty Clausen says, bring more, please. Well, we can't because we have to take a break. Is Don Corby ready? Okay, not yet, Clark says. Well, we do have to break. And when we come back, we'll continue more of this fun NHL retro jersey game. They just unveiled them this morning. Argos with theirs, too. It's the RP Show. This has been the warm-up. You're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. What's up, Clark? Seems like mass chaos going on back in the dog pound.
Pretty calm out here.
Well, it's only because, again, these NHL jerseys came out this morning, and it's got the world going nuts. And I get it because how much money is spent on a yearly basis on NHL merch or sports apparel, right?
Oh, yeah.
Billions upon billions upon billions. Chris in Toronto writes in on that Argo logo. He says, I'm a fairly long-time Argos fan, and I love the 70s, 80s era boat logo. The club went through several stupid logos before moving to the circular shield. And again, I like all the Argos jerseys. And I don't understand why they need to go changing them all the time. Not the Argos, just teams in general. Because you look at the iconic teams. New York Yankees, Montreal Canadiens. The Leafs have fiddled with theirs, but overall, not a lot.
Not really.
The iconic team, Chicago Blackhawks, New York Rangers, they don't change. Why does Boston Bruins? Why does everybody think they need to change all the time? The Blue Jays seem to flip theirs every 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Well, it's, again, it comes back down. It's a branding issue, right? When you think, when you're not having success, branding, merchandising, building fans in the stadium, you think of where can I point the finger? Our logo is not good enough. Our colors aren't right. We don't got the right players. We don't got, instead of looking in the mirror and saying, we're just not marketing this the right way. We're not building our brand the right way. We're not, you know, working hard enough. We're not doing X, Y, Z. That's where it comes down to. You know, your logo is probably fine. Your colors are fine. Your building's fine. Your players are fine. Just because you're not playing that well, you don't need to trade everybody at the deadline. Or
change your jerseys.
Or change your jerseys.
That's all.
Right?
So listen, apologies to those listening on Apple Podcasts or listening live at rodpeterson.com/listen live right now. While we await Don Corby joining us from Billistic Sports and his brand new board game, Billistic, coming out. Clark's got some jerseys here. That's been Clark's focus back there. So throw them up, and we're going to say what we think first when we see these jerseys, which player, and I invite you to write in the comment section too. Rick Vines!
Sittler. Daryl Sittler.
Darren says Daryl Sittler for that Leafs jersey, 80s. Joe Sakic!
Oh, Sundin, first overall pick.
Quebec Nordique, and I'll with a side helping of Michel Goulet. Does that mean anything to you? Clark Wilm!
Yeah.
Calgary Flames,
Aginla
90s-ish. Yeah. Keep him coming, folks.
Koivu.
I said Andres Kostitsyn. You got to really fly through this. Jamie in Halifax wrote, said Lanny McDonald. And a lot of Lanny's coming in for that jersey, which incidentally, Lanny never wore. He retired in 89.
Yeah.
Marcel Dion.
Yeah, Robitaille. Luke Robitaille.
Somebody had said Rogie Vachon for the LA Kings. Is that it? I think...
Oh, you got a job to
now,
do?
Now Don's checking in. Don Corby. Ron Tugnut says Jamie Anstey in Halifax. But listen, guys. No. You're missing the point. People are writing in with classic names. No. It's what you think of guys that wore that jersey.
Yeah.
Serge Savard, somebody answered, was long gone by the time the Montreal Canadiens were wearing blue base with red and white trim.
Yeah.
Side gear here. Obviously, Don Corby, we're getting them loaded up and ready to go here. Our poll question today for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center is, who should be the head referee for the inaugural CFL Sim Grey Cup on Saturday night? Your options are Al Bradbury, Dave Foxcroft, Tim Pipes Croker, or Andre Proulx. Would you be surprised to know that Andre Proulx is leading the poll?
No, I'm not surprised. We are a damaged society, and we just want somebody
punishment
to hate. And yeah. And I think, as you know, I'm going to put myself in the Rider Nation. We want to be able to have that kind of backup plan so that if we don't
somebody
win,
to blame.
We got somebody to blame.
Wow, that's some deep warp thinking right there.
I've been in this community a long time.
Yes.
I know the people.
John O'Flynn's watching in North Vancouver. He says, Proul has 8 Grey Cup games under his belt, and being the first for the inaugural CFL Sim Grey Cup is best. Andre Proul will be the first referee. Listen, you'll get it. You're all CFL fans watching across the country. You got Andre Proul with his hat crooked. It's always cold, so he's sniffing, right? And he's got a turtleneck on. I just remember a couple years ago, I went immediately from the Grey Cup to Phoenix, and I'm sitting with my American friends in Phoenix. I'm talking born and raised Phoenicians. And they're like, this guy, Proul. Like, that's a joke, right? That he's not real. And I'm like, no, he's real. Turd down. I'm not making fun of him, so don't get on me for that.
Saskatchewan.
But I'm just, they just couldn't believe it.
It should be on like this hour as 22 minutes, like one of those, you know, spoof, you know, satire type shows that run on the CBC. That's what, you know, Andre Proul should be a character on the show. But guys, yes. Remind me in the back, you know, we have some of the sound effects. We need to have some Andre Proul sound bites ready to go when there's penalties, yep. Third down, you name it.
Well, it's no different than when you're watching U.S. college football down in the deep south. And the referee's saying, you know, holding 59 offense, first down. You know what I mean? It's the same. It's the dialect of the region.
Yeah.
But Andre Proul just happens to be ours in Canada. That's all. But they don't hear it much in Phoenix. French accents.
That's right.
And lastly, Don Mitchell, regarding our NHL retro jerseys. Don says, I'm not that swept up on actual dates of certain color schemes. Hockey nerd territory. That's right. But we're basically looking at 80s and 90s era. So when you say Serge Savard, he was long gone by the time the Habs debuted that. Anyways, here's a guy that can talk a little hockey, football, baseball, and probably a lot of things. Let's bring in Don Corby from Billa's Tick Sports, brand new sports board game that he's bringing to market. Good morning, Don. How you doing, sir?
Good, yourself, Rod.
Good. Great to talk to you. I don't know where. First of all, am I saying Billa's Tick right, by the way?
Billistic.
Ballistic.
So Bill, B-I-L-L, Billistic. Yeah.
Right, like ballistic, yeah. But Billistic. I gotcha.
So that's right.
Yeah. For anybody of yours in my era and older, they would remember QB1. Darren, do you even know QB1? You know what it is?
Yeah.
That's the idea of what you're doing, Don, but as you and I talked about on the phone last week, I believe yours is better. And people can get their hands on it soon. Can you explain your board game?
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate you saying it's better. That's great. I grew up in a time when QB1 was there and you could go into the bar and play it on a console. And that's where the idea kind of came from to begin with, to be honest, is I wanted to bring that into people's homes. So what we did was a good friend of mine and I went to work, and there's a baseball, football, and a hockey one. And the main premise between all three is the same. You play them along with the televised sporting event, and that's what makes them so great. So you can play from your living room with your kids, with your buddies, with and you're trying to predict what's next in the sport. But with the ball one comes, you know, with every bat you're trying to predict, is it going to be a home run, a triple, a double, a single? And depending on if you predict right, you'll go around the board and you'll encounter all these fun little game cards, coaches cards or players cards, and you'll get injuries and all kinds of things will hamper you. With the hockey, it's you're predicting what's going to stop the next play. So over the glass, goalie freeze, penalty. And then with the football one, you're guessing every snap of the ball. Run right, run left, throw right, left, center. And we feel them very exciting. We've been playing them a lot, testing them, and we have found out through playing them, there's actually a variety of ways you can play them. The main way is with our pieces and cards, but we end up altering it as we play, and sometimes we may actually throw some coins down instead of the pieces, and put your money where your mouth is type thing. So,
well, one of our viewers, Jeff Kozak, just wrote in and said, "I so miss QB1." And I think we all do, but the difference with, like, it was awesome, but the difference is you're not playing this in a bar per se. And with us all likely going to be locked down this winter watching sports and your family's around, that's where I think you've got to win. You're going to have NFL on, you're going to have NHL on, which lends itself perfectly to the games and for the kids to play with their folks. Extended relations, if we're allowed to, it's absolutely perfect. And you're not just sitting there watching the game. You're part of the game, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And with that, we do want to say one of our initiatives with the board games is for every board game we sell, we give $1 back to kids in sport. All the board members and owners of this company grew up playing sports, and we all come from different walks of lives and know how important it is that some people and some kids just can't afford to maybe play sports. And I know with COVID times, it's not a lot of sports are going on right now, but at some point we're going to come out of this, and, there's going to be hardships. So we also want to give back. So,
yeah, well, I think it's fantastic. And again, there was an app that came out, and I can't remember it, what the name of it was. I was invested in that at a very small amount, but it never took off because the difference here is I didn't want to be watching the game and be on my phone every play by myself, right? It's like QB1's a little bit passe in terms, and you were playing that with all your buddies. That was different. Here you're playing with your family. And as you said, you mentioned put some money on it, but it could be a drinking game too. Let's talk about that. College kids and youngsters, you take a shot when this happens, right? That's one thing we talked about on the phone.
Yeah. It's not something we promote, obviously, but we know it happens. It turned into that when we started playing it as well. So,
yeah. You mentioned some of your celebrity investors. Obviously, they don't mind their names being attached to it. That's why they did it. You want to mention who's involved in this?
Yeah. So we were very fortunate early on. I've had discussions with Mr. Doug McLean early on, and he always, even before he ended up owning shares in the company, he was always very kind. I don't know if it was the Prince Edward Island connection or what it was, but he would always give advice and maybe shuffle me off in the right direction every once in a while. So he's involved. Mr. Calvin McCarty, he came on board recently, and he says hello, by the way, Rod.
Good. Hi, back.
So, there's a few of them that are on board, and we are very thankful to have them.
James
Mr.
Duffy,
Paul
right?
Hendrick.
James Duffy.
Duffy's involved, yep. Mr. Paul Hendrick and Barry Davis. They're both doing some pods for us, and they're also shareholders for us and doing some influencing for us. So, we're very excited to have them, and it was very nice of them to get involved.
Didn't I see one of the Millard boys on there too?
Millard is always, he didn't come on board fully, but Millard's one of those gentlemen that also gave us advice early on, and we talked, and he would always help us out. So he's very much a part of it, but yeah.
Ballistic Sports. So it's a board game to play while you're watching baseball, hockey, football, fun for the whole family. Drinking game, if you want it to be that. I literally think we've covered everything. Now, you said that some of your prototypes have been shipped out. Do you have any of the boards in front of you, Don? Just one of them that you could show our viewers?
Yeah. So here's the board, one of the football ones here. It is just our mock-up because all our... and they're at other plow. And it gives you a general idea. And you can go on Kickstarter. So Kickstarter is where we've launched these. And Kickstarter, if you don't know what Kickstarter is, it's an all or nothing platform. So we need people to go on there so we can reach our goal in order to make that first run. And then we'll go from there type thing. So
where can people find the link if they want to be part of the Kickstarter campaign?
You can find it on our website at www.ballisticsports.com or on any of our social media, being Twitter or Facebook or Instagram.
And beyond that, once you do go to market, how can people get their hands on this? Will it be in stores or they have to order it online? Because I think, like, I want one. I got to think a lot of our viewers feel the same way. How do they go about doing that?
To start, we will be online. We are looking at some other partnerships right now, which we're hoping will come to fruition. Through this campaign so far, we've gotten a lot of, we've been noticed. So it's good, and we'll see where it takes us after that. But for sure, it will be available on our website.
Okay. And now I'm getting flooded with questions, and Clark's telling me we only got a couple minutes left. So let me just say this. How long's this been in the hopper? Because, like, did you say it goes back 20 years?
Well, funny enough, back in the year 2000 is when we started the process. And we right away got picked up by a large company, publishing company down in the States. And then, unfortunately, about a year into it, their Canadian office went bankrupt, and we had to spend some time getting the rights back. So, and at that time, my partner and I were going through different life's challenges, and we kind of put it on the back burner. So now we're opening it back up. So, but one thing that's happened over the past 20 years is sports has changed. So we're having to tweak the games a bit because the game on television has changed. But it's not something that's just happened in a whim. Success is an instant, and we're hoping that our longevity in this will help us out.
Key thing, and Darren knows this, my partner, is that the product needs to be good. So you've got that down.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's and from key. There, you just grow. Don, you're a great guy. I appreciate it. Good luck. Anything you need, you know where to find us.
All right. Thanks, guys. And there's some swag coming your way as well for some giveaways and for you guys to wear as well.
Well, I like what you got on right there. It's right down my alley. I can tell you that. All right. Thanks, Don. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Don Corby joining us from Ballistic Sports. You want to play now, don't you?
I do. Let's
you can
go.
Play it. You could play it for the sim.
Oh,
you could.
Of course you could.
We were leaving the studio here the other night after the sim divisional finals for the CFL, and my wife's friend said, "What it was, 'cause we have a gathering here, not a big one, a legal one, but every week for the sim game." She goes, "What are we going to do after next week?" Right?
Right.
We have to start simming hockey games?
We've got to do something. It's our weekly get-together.
It's our weekly get-together, yeah. Anyways, we'll come back with a sports update. We'll talk a little bit about this. More on the NHL retro jerseys unveiled today. Are the teams going to actually wear these?
I think so.
Oh,
I think so.
Pretty sexy.
I hope so.
We got Gary Lawless coming up from Vegas, too, in Hour 2. It's the RP Show you're watching on Game Plus TV, Facebook Live, and Listen Live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's amazing. There are no hockey games to talk about per se, not pro. So everybody's talking about the jerseys. And Clark's got more loaded up. We'll get to those in a minute. But this morning, the NHL announced for all 32 teams, is it now? They're retro jerseys? Have the Kraken got a retro jersey?
I don't know. They should.
Anyways, we'll get to more talk on that in a minute. Gary Lawless coming up from Vegas in Hour 2 from the Golden Knights. But we've been playing a fun game. Show the retro jersey. Who's the first player you think of?
It'd be fun
to
play.
It's a lot of fun.
Be fun. Like, I don't know if Clark can do that. And it'd be fun to get Gary to play that game. Roll through some of the teams and see his kind of first impression.
From what it sounds like, it'd be great just to have him on the air, period. Because he's got a busy morning. Gary Lincoln from Winnipeg writes in and says, "The Jets jersey is terrible. It could have gone to Phoenix in 1996. There it is. Not a fan here.
No.
The Jets have never worn it, so how could you call that a retro jersey? I don't get it. Look, you went, where did my Thrashers?
He's right in front of you. Right in front of the gong. Right in front of the gong.
Oh. Here's the Ilya Kovalchuk Thrashers jersey, and I know that it's a long ways away for you guys to look at, but classic colors, red, white, and blue with a little yellow thrown in. Great Thrashers logo. Whoever came up with that.
Yeah.
How do you not go with that if you're the Winnipeg Jets?
You would sell a lot of those. Look at Kovalchuk agrees.
Kovalchuk's nodding like crazy.
Oh, yeah. He won't stop.
Okay, Ellie. Sports update. Cam Newton and the New England Patriots emerged wet but victorious in a 23-17 victory over the Baltimore Ravens. On Sunday Night Football, the quarterback ended the day with a rushing and passing touchdown while throwing for 118 passing yards despite blistering winds and pouring rain at Gillette Stadium. Ben Roethlisberger threw four touchdown passes while Canadian rookie Chase Claypool caught two of them. As the Steelers ripped apart the Bengals 36-10, the Steelers remain the league's lone undefeated team at 9-0. Dustin Johnson set a Masters course record en route to a tournament victory at Augusta on Sunday afternoon. Johnson finished the tourney at 20 under 268, beating a record held by both Tiger and Jordan Spieth. Britain's Lewis Hamilton clinched his seventh ever Formula One title after winning Sunday's Turkish Grand Prix. And here's one for those junior hockey fans they were asking. The Rimouski Oceanic defeated the Bay Como Drakkar for the second consecutive night with a 4-2 victory in Bay Como. Rimouski edged Bay Como 3-2 since losing their first two games against the Drakkar in late October. The Oceanic has now won three straight against them. This sports update for Ballers Rec Room. They're now handling your Christmas party needs. They've got all your fun and food needs covered. Visit them at ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Janelle in Saskatoon says, I'm obsessed with the Jets jersey. Wow! And would also wear the Kings and Sharks. The rest? No thanks. Well, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. Do we not know that by now?
We should.
Glenn Erickson, one of my co-writers from the website dubnetwork.ca, writes in and says, great piece on Dub Network, traveling down memory lane with Lorne Mullican. A terrific guy. I wonder if young WHL fans these days have any idea how much fun, My guess is those days were. I don't know if we're ever going back to those days. But if you go to dubnetwork.ca right now, you have to search Peterson in their search window because it's not up on their main page. But I got a long column there with Lorne Mullican. I had to break it into three parts. The former coach of the Chicago Blackhawks, Warriors, Pats, and Blades. In the first part, he calls Graham James an effing loser. And you thought that might be a little too colorful language for our...
He just lets it rip, which I love. I mean, yes. We've all spent time with hockey people, the real, like, old-school hockey people who we love. And that's just how they talk. And that's just... It's a real story. Mm-hmm. I said maybe there should be a disclaimer at the middle, at the beginning, because when I read it, it just hit me in the chin, right? Like, I'm like, whoa! And then I'm on the floor.
The quote was, Graham James, that effing loser.
Yeah.
And I didn't clean it up. I just left it in.
Of course. And I'm laughing, and I'm enjoying it. It's a great read, and I couldn't wait for part two.
Hockey stories. The next part is all about his time with the Chicago Blackhawks, the fight under the stands with George McPhee after a preseason game. It's a hell of a story. I get the sense everybody wants to talk hockey this morning, and that's fine by me. Did you have an Oilers jersey, Clark? Did you say you found that one?
I like the Oilers.
Well, Brady in Saskatoon writes in, he says, the Oilers should have went with their 0-1 wrench-looking jerseys. I like those ones, but the one they came out with is good. Jets jersey is ugly. I'm going to be honest. I'm an Oilers fan. They are my number two team. Other than Wayne Gretzky, I can't think of anybody who comes to mind with this jersey. I don't remember them wearing a jersey with orange shoulder patches, or as they called them in the jersey business, epaulettes. I don't think of anybody. Did I have to give up my Oiler fandom because of that? Can somebody write it and tell me when did they wear those jerseys? Unless it was WHA days. I don't remember them wearing those jerseys.
Yeah, and it's so similar to what they have now.
Not a lot different, no.
Right? Which I would have, not that that's a winning era if it's going back to Gretzky, but I would have liked to see them go back to like Todd Marchand and
the copper.
And maybe the oil drop or the copper. It's something a little different like that.
I think they might have dropped the ball there.
Go back to the late 90s.
Sorry to say, I think the Oilers dropped the ball on that.
I think so too.
The Jug writes in from Saskatoon and says, talk about your big Pats Canadians game you broadcast over the weekend. Got to be good to do games again. Yep. Go back and look at my Instagram feed at Rod Peterson Official, where I took a bathroom selfie in my very best Colin O'Brien suit. It's my newest one. I said how nice it felt to put on a suit and go to the rink to do a game. And as Bob McKenzie said last week, if you want to come up with scoops, go to the rink. It's exactly what I did, and I came up with what I think is a scoop. There was an There was somebody there who told me that the Dub is playing. And he got into the details as of why, and I don't want to jinx it, and I don't want to divulge those details, other than, and I was one of them up until Friday night saying, I don't see how the Dub can play. You're talking about 150 cap, and they'd said all along that if they don't have 50% capacity, they can't play. Well, they're going to find a way to play. They've come up with a way to play. So if anybody says to you, I can't see how the Dub will play, you will say, that's bunk.
Yeah.
I got the scoop at the rink from somebody that I trust implicitly. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And, that, I mean, things might change. Like lockdowns might come, but, yeah, I see them playing, too.
John Ohm in Winnipeg says, great job on Friday night, Rod. Sharp suit, brah. Thank you, John. And I'm going to break and come back, and we'll continue the jersey talk. But there's the one thing. We couldn't get the audio working for the first period. Nugsy and I... Well, it wasn't us. It was the tech people. And it was a little frustrating because I had a lot of friends like John in Winnipeg and another John in Kennewick, Washington, trying to watch. And Colin, Corey Patterson down in Orlando wanted to watch, and there was no sound. But they did get it figured out by midway through the second period. It was their first home game broadcast. People expect ESPN right out of the jump. We learned that with this show.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it doesn't quite work that way. But now we're ready to roll for the rest of the season. Viewer Jeff Krieger says, sweet, will be nice to see the WHL play. As a matter of fact, I just got an email this morning from the Pats regarding all this. Yeah. Hang on. Did you get it too?
I got it.
We'll be right back. It's the RP Show, Monday morning get-together. Gary Lawless coming up in hour two. You're watching on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
And Darren DuPont's with us, too, and the entire crew, including Clark, Jordan, and Ryan. I have all these topics listed this morning from the Quick Six, and nobody wants to talk about any of them. All they want to talk about is the dang jerseys. And that's fine.
That's cool.
That's why we do what we do. We call it interactive TV. We're simulcasting to Game Plus coming up in Hour 2. Gary Lawless will be with us from Vegas. Regarding the CFL Sim Division Finals on the weekend leading into the Grey Cup this Saturday night, Saskatchewan plays Ottawa. Jamie Anstey in Halifax says, no more Cobra Kai Mitchell. Stamps are done. How is everyone feeling today? They're very revved up in Ottawa about the Sim Grey Cup. I did an interview with the French language newspaper, Le Droit, yesterday, and it's been posted already. Ottawa fans are excited. Calgary, not so much. What can I say about that?
Not much we can do about it.
It happens. Pinks is watching. Let's get to the jerseys. Clark, the best producer in show business, has loaded up six or eight more jerseys of the NHL. Here we go. Todd Pinkney says, Bobby Clark, caught a hot.
Caught a hot.
That's from, what do I think when I look
Lindros
at that? Lindros.
LeClaire.
You stole it.
And Renberg.
I was going to say Lindros. The Legion of Boom.
Legion of Boom.
Washington cap. No, is that Vegas?
That's Vegas.
Oh, I immediately think of Marc-Andre Fleury when I see that.
Yeah.
No, I had to like rack my brain.
Nobody was worn that before.
I don't think of anybody.
We've seen this one.
I said Gord Dineen, Dave Tippett.
Yeah, Ron Francis.
Some said Primo. Jeff Sanderson for the Hartford Whalers. That's Carolina's. Rick Vive. Sittler. Oh, we're going through these again. Okay. Yeah. Rick Vive.
Daryl Sittler.
I don't know why that's the first one I thought of. Joe Sakic,
yeah,
Michel Goulet, Ron Tugnutt.
Forsberg.
Blah. Nobody.
Nobody.
So Winnipeg Jets, Grays, the Oilers, yeah, orange epaulettes.
For whatever reason, I see Kevin Lowe.
Really?
The Oilers one.
Can somebody with the Oilers fans please tell me, when did the Oilers wear those jerseys? Like, I'm not joking. I got to go look up old photos. I've been watching them since 79, and I don't remember them wearing them. Anyways, we'll continue this. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk some NFL, junior hockey notes, and all the rest. Gary Lawless coming up in hour two, and more of your comments. So we'll see you in moments. Stick with us. And I said,
Fire truck!
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.